is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, in the corner of Crestview and Nava Vista. We alter your local surveys by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sun flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and James?
Yes, I feel it.
Feeling it.
Wonderful.
Yep. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
Nice to hear you there, man.
Sort of. Yeah, I'm
kind of.
Coming back from my weekly proof of life. I'm actually feeling better and sounding worse. It's weird. I'm still really sick. Getting over viral pneumonia, had it 7 or 8 weeks now. Don't feel like I'm dying anymore, but feel kind of crappy. And my voice got worse. I'm not that worried about it. It'll come back. But I just wanted to come on and say hi, test some things out. That's all.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Hi, James.
Hi.
So say what you guys said about statues. I liked it.
What did we say about statues?
How someone asked if there's anybody worth actually putting
statues for. Yeah, there was a tweet I saw circulating yesterday, which was actually a tweet within a tweet, because somebody had screenshotted somebody else's tweet. And that tweet was basically saying, you know, there hasn't been any, you know, name one person in the last 20 years who's even worthy of having a statue made of them. So somebody took that, screenshotted it, and then put a picture of James striding across the stage at the LP convention. you know, in his thong, in all his glory. Yeah, and yeah. I was like, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, this is beautiful. And then, you know, my second thought was, this has to be done. We need to make that. We need to have that statue made. Because yep. That is definitely statue worthy, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. Yep.
And then I decided it would be a wonderful idea if we had it made and dropped off in front of the LP national headquarters.
Or like welded to the roof.
Yes.
Welded to the ceiling.
Yep. Well,
perfect.
I'm going to go because I can barely talk. I thought this would work. I can't do it, man.
Oh.
I'll be back, though, and I'll edit tonight. And thank you guys for your service. Have a great show.
Huh? All right, Mike. Mm-hmm. Well.
I just... All right. Thanks. Bye.
Rest it up, then. Any hoodle. I love what he does. He's like, Michael. Yeah. I love he does that. He says, okay, yeah, I'm going to come on for the first segment, so we don't prepare because he just wants to talk, and then he just leaves, and we're just like, okay, now here we are.
And we're going to, well, we can talk about statues.
Yeah, statues. Oh, there's just... The ridiculousness of this continues. I mean, not that I care about any of these statues being there in the first place. I just, you know, for me, anytime they're going to, you know, if the local state federal government is going to take them down or relocate them, it's just cost more tax dollars to do all that stuff, so that makes me mad.
Yeah.
But overall I don't care if they stay or if they go, but they're like, now I keep seeing like every day I see more stories of places, you know, all over the country, people trying to get different statues taken down. Interestingly, I saw people were attacking Christopher Columbus statues. That made me happy.
Yeah.
He was a bad man.
He was a bad, bad man. He was a very, very bad man.
He's a very, very bad man who's still championed by a lot of people, a lot of very ignorant people who, you know, got their history lessons from government schools. So that was actually interesting because, you know, I expect all the Confederate, so, you know, the Confederate soldiers that, again, people got their history lessons from the government schools, so they don't actually know what happened there. But like that, I guess, makes sense in the current climate, but like just randomly going after Christopher Columbus statues, that's weird.
Well, why not? It fits along the same narrative, you know, the same kind of overall sentiment that's leading to tearing down the Confederate statues anyway. Get rid of statues of, you know, people who did atrocious things. I mean, why not get rid of all of them? Tear down Lincoln, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
just tear down all the statues.
Yeah, well, like I said, yeah. I mean, I'm all for them coming down, but you know, when the government actually does it, when they do it, it costs more money.
Well, but does it? I mean, because the government's maintaining the statue's ground. I mean, wouldn't demolishing it be a net positive? Because now we're not going to have another 200 years of paying to maintain it.
Good point. Well, in the long run, yeah, I guess you're right. Although I'd love to see, you know, you'd love to see the books because, you know, the government's famous for the $5,000 hammer.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine how much they charge.
Well, you know, a lot of these statues are coming down through direct action, just people.
Well, that's why I said that I don't mind.
Down, so
that I don't mind at all. That's fine with me. If people want to, if people want to go out of their way to do it, great.
My issue with that though is I'd rather like have the monuments like taken down professionally so they can be preserved and put in like maybe a museum. Because I mean, come on. I mean, why not put them in a museum? I mean, if you're going to put, like, historical things somewhere, where should they go? A museum.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I hadn't even thought of that. One of the articles I was reading for tonight, actually, somebody, it was mentioned in there briefly, and that was the first time that I'd even crossed my mind. So that you said that, I was like, well, yeah, that it does make sense. Like, sure, why not? You know, they keep all sorts of other stuff there, and, you know, if you're not going to sell it off and make money off of it, then sure, why not?
Right. I mean, sell it off too. I mean, why not sell it off? I mean, there's plenty of people that would probably want to put these statues up in their front yards.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to think at least one of these people who went to these rallies with the claim that they were going there in support, in, you know, to try to protect the statue. Well, like I said, their claim. You know, you would think at least one of them would be willing to cough up the dough,
right? To purchase it and then you know relocate it to their yard.
Perfect.
Probably, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Why not do that? I mean, that solves a lot of problems. You know, it's no longer on the government property. It's move it over to a privately maintained area.
Yeah,
you know, move it over to their private property.
Yeah, that's again.
It saves the taxpayer money.
Perfect.
Why not? That's the way to do it. Come on, what's taking the alt-right so long to figure that one out? Because maybe that's not really their issue.
Oh, yeah, you think? Yeah, but maybe, possibly.
That seems also, like a no-brainer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, like I said, now that I think about it that way, sure, it makes perfect sense. But I'm sure. Well, number one, I don't think that's their real issue, and number two, even if they want to continue to claim it is, I think the even more deeper underlying issue is, well, they don't really care about government not spending money. They're fine with government spending money as long as it's on things they want. So
right. Yeah, like not having Confederate statues all over the place.
Exactly. They're not. Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, that's something that, you know, the maintenance thing, like as soon as you said it, it clicked in with me and I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. But like originally that didn't come to mind for me and I don't know why. So I'm sure for a lot of other people that doesn't even, it's not even a blip on their radar that money is spent on that every year, you know, to maintain the grounds and depending, like the bigger ones, obviously, like the ones to the real winners down in D.C., like the Jefferson and Washington and
yeah,
Lincoln,
those
really equally horrible people.
Those things cost so much money to maintain these things.
Yeah, because those ones have, you know, those ones have, like, you know, security guards on top of everything else that have to be paid and stuff like that.
It's insane. How much all these pieces of granite are costing us money just to have there. It's amazing how much money we're spending on this. I'd like to really see the books. I wonder how much the budget actually is in maintaining all these statues. Because there's a ton of them.
Yeah, there is
a ton of them.
Yeah, and you don't even think about it because, you know, most people think of like the big ones you see in the pictures in DC and stuff like that. And like, depending on where you live, there's probably like at least one in your, you know, in close by to you somewhere, you know, and I don't even think about it. But that now, like, you know, again, as I stop to think for a second, I'm like, oh, yeah, as I drive around during the day or over around here all over Long Island, there's just random ones in different towns,
right?
You know, and plenty of these real winners have like multiple ones in the same states, all over the place,
everywhere.
Just
everywhere. All, statues all over the place.
Yep, and they're all maintained by tax cattle money, they're allegedly the property of the state.
Right, it's crazy. Just take them down. Take them all down.
Yeah, well, like I said,
I think it'd be more cost effective to tear them down than to keep maintaining them over all these years.
Yeah, so. I'm going to have to... I'll see if I can dig into that.
Especially the ones that are, not... popular too. Like, I mean, there's really no reason for it. And the reason why they put these, the Confederate statues up in the first place, I mean, participation statues, come on, get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly. The original participation trophy.
Right, exactly. First they give out participation trophies for wars, and next thing you know is participation trophies for Little League. These Confederate monuments started the whole problem,
See?
So, the reason they put them up was to, intimidate people during the Reconstruction era and stuff like that. And it's just a bad, it's just all around these, there's no reason to keep them. They're just bad. They were put up to, intimidate people, to remind people of worse days for them. There's really no reason to keep them up, in my mind. I don't know. They cost taxpayer money to maintain. No. I mean... Really?
Well, they're part of the heritage, man. They got to be there.
They weren't put up for heritage. They were put up because the Dixiecrats put them up all over the place because they wanted to intimidate people and were protesting against desegregation.
Yeah, well, no, I know, but again, that goes back to where do people got their history lessons from?
Yeah,
because all the people that I saw talking about, trying to defend the statues in the first place, and then some people like I was talking to Jim Jesus this morning about this, and there was a lot of right leaning groups that were supposed to show up to this Unite the Right thing that decided not to because they realized that the bulk of the people going were the white nationalists and the KKK and all these people, and those people, you think they would have a little more understanding about this stuff, especially because when you look at it in this lens, they're acting like a bunch of SJWs protecting heritage and their culture.
My culture.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Segment where we were talking statues, and I think James and I both agree that they should definitely, taking them down is a good thing, putting them somewhere privately and doing it with private money would be even better, and then save a lot of money in the long run. But I mean, the controversy, I guess, about these things just continues to go, because there's just like story after story after story about this. One of the ones that just made me laugh really pretty hard was there's this article from the Daily Progress, which is, it's got this picture. He looks like a really big 16-year-old. This guy, it doesn't actually say in the article what his age is, but he's
probably 16.
I don't know, but he's in a Confederate uniform. He's in a Confederate soldier's uniform with a Confederate flag slung over his shoulder, and apparently he was carrying some type of rifle.
An ill-fitting Confederate uniform at that.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's that fat man in a little coat. Not to fat shame or anything, but you know.
See, I can do that because I'm a fat guy.
Well, exactly. So you're my buffer. I'm allowed to get away with that tonight because you're here. But yeah, so he's standing there in this picture, and this woman is standing in front of him, giving him both middle fingers. But apparently, this guy showed up pretty much after, or I think he said he showed up for the rally, but he wanted to make it clear that he was not there. He's not, you know, he denounced everything and all the violence, and he's not a member of the KKK or he's not a white nationalist or anything, but he's just a hardcore supporter of the Confederacy, I guess, because, you know, I guess his family tree goes back that way.
My guess is he's probably some kind of reenactor. I mean, why else would he have a Confederate uniform?
If he's not one of his family members so he seems to be, you know, take this very personally. So he tried standing vigil at the Robert E. Lee statue after the events in Charlottesville a week or two, I guess now, almost 2 weeks ago at this point. So he was out there standing, and he was standing out there for quite a while, completely unmolested, until somebody noticed him there, and of course immediately freaked out because, well, the people in Charlottesville are a little on edge after what's been going on there. Mm-hmm. And after listening to a lot of the news reports from, you know, catching a lot of these different stories and hearing different residents being interviewed, apparently there's been a lot of extreme racial tensions there for quite a while to begin with, so this just exacerbated the problem. So immediately everybody went out there to protest this guy, just not doing anything, not saying anything, you know, not holding any signs or anything like that, just, you know, quietly standing guard in front of the statue. And, you know, basically these people came and harassed him for, I think, over half an hour before the cop showed up, and, you know, to make sure nothing was going to happen, you know, just like they did such a bang up job of that, you know, the week prior.
Yeah, they really do a bang up job there, don't they? Keeping the peace.
Well, you know, there's still
this helicopter. I'm surprised they didn't crash a helicopter in response to this guy.
Oh, yeah, that. Well, that might have been a little too obvious. Well, that's another thing that bothers me about that. Every story, every other story I read about Charlottesville, they have to throw in the fact that now that three people died, and they mentioned that it was cops, but they fail to mention that it was an accident of their own doing,
right?
That got them killed. Like, it had nothing to, it essentially had nothing to do with the protests, the riots. It had everything to do with the fact that they just happened to be in the vicinity, allegedly for that purpose. But they just keep throwing it in there, and it's any way to make it more incendiary that, you know, these white not that I approve of the white nationalists and what they do and what they're about, but it's a way to demonize them even more. And
really, it's a way to uphold the police worship. Because really, any time police die, they're like, oh man, this is such a tragedy. You know, police will just go and, you know, off themselves, you know, driving recklessly, and they'll count that in to be like, oh, how dangerous the police job is and stuff, like acting like they were murdered when it was their own incompetence that got them killed. You know, when they're like, oh, there's a war on cops, all these cops died this year, failing to mention that, like, over half of them, it was because of their own stupidity, you know, heart attacks, you know, just something, you know, they crashed their car, you know, stuff like that. They always want to include just ridiculous reasons cops died in death tolls of things. I don't know why that is. You don't see that with any other profession. You know, in no other profession, if a guy has a heart attack on his own job, do they count that as a statistic for, you know, death on that job? You know?
Well, they got to pad the numbers somehow. I think it's become more prevalent since people have actually been keeping statistics of how many civilians get killed by cops a year. So, anyway.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMF.
Catmuff is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help Catmuff help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at Catmuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. Catmuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
We're back. And we were talking when we left. I think we shifted into the police and how crazy it is that there's statistics that they like to throw in. You know, when what counts as a police, you know, police died in the line of duty, essentially. You know, most people see that and think, oh my God, they were shot or something, you know, protecting somebody or, you know, some horrible person. But no, if you actually dig into the statistics, you find out that I think it is more than half actually are due to like heart attacks and traffic accidents, I believe are the top two reasons of police deaths on the jobs. But they... You know, so it's bad enough that they do that, but then they take it to a whole nother level with, there's a story that now, of course, I just lost the darn article. Do you have that up, James?
Because I have it up. Article from the Daily Sheeple.
that was the one I saw first, but there was another one from the New York Times. Apparently is being covered a lot, but apparently some police officers here in New Yorkistan got their feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell us a little more about that since you have it up?
Yeah, I got both articles up here on the same topic. So in response to the protests in Charlottesville, one of the New York City's police unions released a video claiming that police officers are the victims of an even worse kind of racism. Blue racism. Oh yeah, let's just completely just blue wash racism, you know, the hundreds of years of slavery and segregation, and oh man, people are mean to cops, that's worse.
Oh yeah, they
never mind that the first police force in America was formed as a slave catching patrol. Forget that part. It's, you know, cops are the real victims of racism because these people are nuts. These cops actually believe this stuff, that they're the real victims of oppression and they're the real victims here because they're cops and people don't respect them, so therefore it's, you know, the end of the world for them, and oh man, people don't respect me when I'm a cop. Now of course they don't respect you when you go and cry like this.
Well yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is not doing their this is not doing their image any favors.
No, this is great. Yeah. This makes them out to be just the whiners that they are about their image.
Yeah. Now, you know? I finally found the article again. Now, because this is what I remember. The one thing about it was in the New York Times article, the headline actually states that, you know, the head of the police union who made these statements originally and, you know, was part of putting this video. Did you actually watch the video? It was cringeworthy. Like, I didn't watch it. I listened to it. It was so cringy.
It is very cringy.
But it actually says, you know, he regrets the word choice. Although, when you dig down into the actual article and find the full context of that quote, he's, you know, maybe I shouldn't have used racism. Maybe I should have used bias. But basically, the sentiment's still the same because, you know, it, number one, people hate on cops. And, you know, then, of course, he points, you know, just like any other time they do this, they point to, you know, the horrible attacks on police officers. Mm-hmm. You know, again, failing to mention all of the people that police officers harass, beat, kidnap, kill, cage, and or kill on a daily basis all over victimless crimes. You know, let's forget about that, and let's just talk about the more random and a lot less often occurrences of cops being killed. Now, of course, I know there have been supposedly there's been multiple cop shootings in the past couple of days or past couple of weeks, I've heard now.
Yeah, and that's in response to maybe the fact that they've declared war on the citizens and have, you know, for the past, 5 years, I think it's been, since they've killed less than 1,000 people a year. You know, they just keep killing more and more people every year. Just over victimless crimes, over, you know, they thought he sold a loose cigarette. You know, they thought he met a description. Oh, he had a tail light out. You know, you have stories like this every day of just ridiculous reasons cops kill people.
Oh, he was a little kid and he was carrying a BB gun.
Oh, he had a BB gun at a park and we shot him within 2 seconds of arriving on the scene. Oh, yeah. Of course people are going to not like what you're doing. Of course you're going to, your job, because it's, you know, it's not racism. Racism isn't what you're doing. You know, people aren't mad at you for, you know, it's crazy that this guy would even think that it's even somewhat comparable. Even if he regrets the word choice, you know, he used the word. And for him to even call this racism is really insane. For him to even compare anything like that. Because, I mean, this is people mad at you for what you do, for what your job is, you know, for what they're doing on a daily basis. It has nothing to do with just who you are as a person. It's not because you put on a uniform. Anyone can put on a blue uniform and not, you know, shoot people. Anyone can put on a blue uniform and not, you know, pull people over for victimless crimes and harass them and rip them out of their car, point guns at them, throw handcuffs on them, throw them in a cage because they found half a doobie in the ashtray. You know, people are mad at them for doing this stuff. It's not mad at them because of the color of the uniform. You know, that's what racism is that kind of stuff. Mad at them because of the color of their skin, mad at them because of their race, not mad at them because of what they do. You know, and this guy is insane. I can't believe that someone like this would even exist. I just can't believe it. It's crazy that this, you know, police union guy would even think to try to compare, you know, why people. And then he goes into all this stuff in the video about, you know, oh man, look at all these times that, you know, people were mean to cops. Look at all these people that are, you know, protesting. And what are they protesting? They're protesting, you know, times cops killed people.
Yeah, the police brutality. You know, that's what people are usually protesting. I don't often see any of these protests, no matter what the group is, that are protesting cops that, you know, that are just doing it just, you know, like somebody like me who would just go out there and yell just because I'm not a fan of cops. No, they actually have reasons.
Yeah. No one's out there doing this being like, oh man, we're protesting just because cops exist. I wish they would, but no one's doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time we started doing that. Maybe that would solve a little. Maybe that would solve a little bit more of the problems we have here if people would realize that maybe the problem's the institution itself. But, you know, no one out here is protesting because they're cops. People are out here protesting because cops killed a kid, because cops beat someone up for absolutely no reason, because cops killed a homeless man because he was, you know, mentally ill and was having a hard time following their directions, so they decided to beat him to death, you know. Cops decided to show up and kill the guy who called him because he, you know, was carrying a butter knife and tried to walk away from him. You know, cops, you know, protesting because cops killed some kid because the parents called him because the kid was saying he was suicidal. So the cops showed up and just killed the kid, you know.
Yeah.
Or, that's why, you know, people are protesting.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but that's. That would require, you know, them actually looking at you know, looking in the mirror and they don't want to do that. They, you know, people like this guy, and you know, sadly, I have no problem believing that people like this guy exist because, well, I live here and I'm used to dealing with these people, and it to me, it's kind of. It's like it's basically they've drank their own Kool-Aid, you know. They have people like him have taken the hero worship of cops to heart. So I'm sure he really believes that he's a really good guy and that he's, you know, and that, you know, one of those, oh, there are a couple of bad apples, but I do good and I'm out there to help people and stuff like that, and that's the type of thing that I do, because in his mind, you know, there is no such thing as a victimless crime, you know?
Right. that's what cracks me up the most about this is that, well, you know, every single one of these cop apologists will always use that same thing that you just said, that you know, oh, it's a few bad apples. It's a few bad apples. Oh, it's just a few bad apples. Completely forgetting what that saying is.
Yep.
You know, it's a few bad apples spoil the bunch. Not that they don't. It's that they spoil it. It means that when there's a few bad apples in the bunch, you throw the whole thing away.
Yeah, and I've heard people try to argue, well, no, you're supposed to get rid of the spoiled ones so they don't spoil the bunch. I'm like, yeah, does that happen either? And then, of course, then there's crickets because it's like, well, yeah, sometimes. Because most of the time, no, they don't. Like, it's rare that, I mean, it's rare enough if a cop actually gets indicted on something that they've, you know, if they've killed somebody or injured somebody or, you know, whatever it is. Like, it's rare enough that they get indicted. It's a lot. It's even more rare that they actually get convicted. Does it happen? Sure. But it's usually in the most egregious, like some of the most egregious cases that it's indisputable. There's no way. But then again, even some of those are there. They still find a way to not penalize these people. Like, you know, we brought it up before. I don't, from what I remember, I don't think the cops in the Tamir Rice case I don't think they were charged with, well, they might have been charged. I don't think they ended up getting indicted and convicted of that. You know, plenty of times it just, nope. Oh, you know, because they're allowed to utter the magic words, I was afraid for my life, and that makes it okay.
That's what they do. Yeah. You know, they can indict a ham sandwich, but they'll never indict a cop. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a lot for them to do that. And like I said, I think people like this head of this police, you know, whatever, the Benevolence Union, which is filled with retired and current police officers. I think people like this, they take that power trip to the head, you know. It's like all that hero worship that's been rained upon them, and they just look at it like, well, we're supposed to be, and if how dare people not respect us like that, and how dare people want to hurt us, and just stop there. Don't ask why they want to hurt you, just how dare they want to in the first place.
Right.
Darn SJWs. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback, and for the first time, on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends-related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only. Aww.
Yeah, the thing that really gets me about all this, you know, police worship is, you know, the founding, like, a lot of the people, you know, the founding fathers, I'm going to do an appeal to the founding fathers. I know that's probably not very common, but on the show. But when the, you know, when there were debates going on about the Constitution and all that kind of stuff, one of the big things that came up was whether or not the United States should have a standing army. And a lot of people don't really realize, like, the historical significance and how that really ties into this problem we're having today with the police force. Is because back in those times, it was the standing army who were the police force. So all the stuff that the founding fathers were saying against the standing army was against having a police force. They didn't want a police force in America. That was what all the founding fathers were against, this and talked about how this would lead to the most brutal tyranny in the world, is having, you know, a police force in America going on and enforcing laws all the time, going around and patrolling, doing all this kind of stuff. And a lot of people don't realize that because they don't have they don't understand the historical significance of it. And it wasn't until slave catching patrols were really needed that you really had police forces. And it was for a very long time where it was just slave catching patrols, which is terrible that those existed. But we weren't supposed to have, you know, just an overall, just constant, presence of law enforcement everywhere. But it happened, you know, and that's the way we've gone, and we've seen what happened. We've seen what happened since then. We have gone really tyrannical with laws every day. Everything, another thing is getting criminalized. It's very, very seldom that we get some kind of freedom back. It's always more and more rights taken away. You know, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. You know, and then they give you something silly, like in Michigan here, they just finally gave us back after, you know, like a 60-year ban on switchblades. Now we can have switchblades, but only if they're under 3 inches and only if they're only sharpened on one side, you know. But
oh, gee, thank you. Oh,
thanks. Thanks for giving us that. Yeah, that's really nice of you after, you know, come on. You know, that's what happens. And, you know, the laws against the switchblades, they've only been using that to go after, you know, minorities and stuff like that. That's the whole reason why they existed. The reason why they finally decided to get rid of that ban on them is because of the uneven enforcement of that law. Because they were only using it to target minority communities to just be an attack on charge. Oh, he had a switchblade in his pocket. You know, that was the entire reason for that law and the only thing it was being used for. You know, so they finally were like, all right, we got to get rid of this law because it's just being used to target, you know, the African-American communities. But the, it's crazy. It's crazy. These police are insane and they're terrible. They shouldn't exist. They kill a bunch of people. All they do is enforce victimless crime laws. You know, if there's actually a crime that happens and someone's person or property get damaged, they never even solve it. All they do is show up, fill out a report.
The national rate for robberies and stuff like that, I remember being somewhere in the range of like 30%.
Yeah.
You know, because exactly, they only care about, you know, they care about taking, you know, handling the victimless crime laws because that's where their revenue generation is. Mm-hmm. So that's what they focus on. So they focus on traffic tickets and busting people for drugs and silly little BS things that they can nail people on that either come with a standard penalty of a fine or that can be tacked on in order to, like, you know, be pled down. It's like, oh yeah, we'll save you the jail time, which shouldn't even exist either, you know, the possibility of that, but you'll just pay us a little extra, you know, pay some extra fees, and you can, you know, we'll plea you down to this because that's how the system works. They, you know, because again, just like, you know, traffic laws aren't about safety, these BS laws aren't about safety either. They're just about ways to make money and ways to get people into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And because, well, they have to justify their existence somehow, you know.
Exactly. It's all about the money. It's just their highwaymen robbing you.
Yep. Well, they, cops suck, man. Tear them down with the statues.
Who the cops?
Worms.
The worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Mount Anchises Plaza, on the artificial satellite of Mir 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by they've got no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at pipcot.org. So, we are back for the second hour. I am Jeremy, joined by James. What's going on, man?
How's it going?
All right. And, first hour, we talked a lot about statues and how horrible cops are, how they should both be taken down together. Be a wonderful thing. Make the world a lot happier place. but on to happier news here in the second hour as we start off. This is the story you brought, and I still want to talk about this one because this one makes me happy too. Now, apparently, at least in, I think this is just in one club right now, I guess, in Vegas.
One club in Vegas so far.
As of now, there is one club in Vegas where you can tip your strippers with Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. And also Ethereum and its very own cryptocurrency.
Yes. Yes, they have a house coin, apparently. And yeah.
Which I think I might have to start mining.
Yeah, it's only, I mean, they said it's trading at about $2.15 currently, so at least at the time of the printing of that article, so it may still be easily mineable, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah, now this is, I mean, as silly as this may sound to some people, this is, this is a big deal when you start taking cryptos into more and more places. This is how, this is how it establishes more of a foothold and becomes what so many people, myself included, have been saying. A lot of us have been saying for the longest time, like, this is the type of thing. This is how we, this is how we evolve. This is how we get past the state. This is how we, this is one of those things that a lot of people have talked about for years and years and years and years and years about how to make the state obsolete. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is like, but behind agorism and stuff like that, about not trying to use the state to fight the state like Marxists or conservatives or the alt-right or any of those people, actually just building things so the state becomes unnecessary. And crypto has been around for, gosh, how long has it been now? When did Bitcoin first hit? Was it 2007? 8?
Yeah, so it's been around for about 8 years now, right?
Something like that. 2011, was it? Yeah, something like that. Eight years, something like that. But yeah,
been longer than that.
Oh, so it was 2007. So we're talking like 10 years. Yeah, 10 years, I think. So, because the first big step for this was Overstock.com, I think, was the first company, the first major company.
Really, that was a really big company that started to accept Bitcoin. I think that was one of the very first.
Yeah, they were large ones. Yeah, Patrick, whatever his name is, the guy who runs that, he's always given talks. trucks at Porkfest and stuff like that, and a bunch of different things. He was one of the first ones that took a chance on it, and that was one of the first big hurdles, like getting a major company like that to start accepting Bitcoin as payment was huge, you know. And he was ridiculed at the time by a lot of people, and like, oh, you know, you're foolish for doing this. And well, I mean, that was at least 4 or 5 years ago from what I remember now. So like, look where they are now, you know. Back then it was still only a few $100. And now Bitcoin is still currently trading at over $4,000 a coin. But you know, so now and since then, it's been a thing where I've noticed that it's been becoming, you know, it's become more accepted in a lot more smaller businesses I come across. You know, a lot of online businesses have turned towards accepting it and just being like, yeah, sure, you know, another payment method, okay, whatever. But this is, you know, I mean, I've joked, well, you know, you can if you have your drug dealer hooked up with Bitcoin or stuff like that, another wonderful way to make use of it. But here, even if you're going to do things quote unquote legally, you know, here in Vegas, where you're allowed to have strip clubs and all that crazy type of stuff, because you know they're banned in a lot of places, unfortunately, or they're not real strip clubs. Like the ones out here are like fake strip clubs because there can only be so much. I don't know if they can be fully nude. I can't remember. I don't think so.
No, in Michigan, they have strange regulations on that, too. But I think they actually repealed most of that. And now in Michigan, they are... Because for a while there, it was like you could only be fully nude if you didn't serve alcohol. But I believe they recently changed that to where you can. But
yeah, but... Yeah, no, well, exactly. There are places like the, you know, weird stuff like that all over the place. But you know,
but then you got, you know, the different, you know, townships and cities and stuff that have their own ordinances against it and stuff like that. But
exactly,
it's very weird.
Yeah. So, but you know, in Vegas, where it's allowed to be done, you know, what was the actual name of this place that they said?
Legends Room.
Yeah, Legends Room. They're the first one taking the shot on this, and I applaud them for it. And they're even making it so convenient that their dancers are all going to have temporary tattoos put on them that of a QR code. So you can literally just scan your dancer as she's walking by you, or you know, after she's done or whatever, and just tip her. Like, that's beautiful. That is you know,
this is exactly how I had pictured the future. I actually had this idea because this was something that has been something that I've been concerned about for a long time, is that cryptocurrency cannot gain full acceptance until, you know, sex workers are really able to utilize crypto. And this is one thing I had thought of, is, you know, the QR code on the strippers. And they're doing it. They're doing what I had theorized would be how it would be done, and it's beautiful, and I'm so happy about it. This is the greatest news for crypto ever, and this is going to make it shoot up even more and make acceptance even better.
Yeah, it's I hope so, because things have been going well lately, you know, especially really lately with the huge price jump and everything. And like I said, I've seen more and more smaller businesses being willing to take a, well, I don't even consider it really a chance anymore, but some people still view it as that. But, you know, so at least willing to start taking the chance of accepting it. So, you know, if, you know, a place like this out in Vegas can do it, then hopefully it will start getting adopted even more, you know, more readily, you know. Next, hopefully they'll move into the casinos too.
Casinos would be next. But you know, the sex work's, you know, like the world's oldest profession. So for the world's oldest profession to adopt the world's newest form of currency is amazing. And we need to see this at more and more clubs across the United States. The Legends Room is really a pioneer, and I think they'll go down in history as being what really started Bitcoin able to take over the world. This is what's going to do it. This is it. This is Bitcoin taking over the world right here. This is the first great leap forward, really. Great leap forward in Bitcoin.
Wow.
All, up until now, it's all just been practice. This is where it really begins.
Exactly. We're getting serious. Now we got some real good stuff on the table here. So, man, I hope so. Although I wonder. I mean, I have to imagine at this point there has to have been at least one maybe transaction, as you know, you're talking about like sex work in general. I wonder if there's been, I would imagine there's been at least one, you know, not outside of a club, just a transaction.
Well, everything starts in the black market.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I got to figure somebody's out there, some John somewhere convinced somebody to be like, hey, I got some of these Bitcoin here. I can hook you up with a wallet and I can pay you right now.
Well, I'm sure there probably has been something like that, because for a while, Backpage only accepted Bitcoin to put up the ads for sex work. If you're unfamiliar, Backpage was like a Craigslist-like website for, and they had listings for sex work there. And for a while there, they had stopped accepting payment in Federal Reserve notes and only accepted payment in Bitcoin for placing the ads on their site. So there probably was something, something on there where it made it a little bit more easy to convince on the black market. But now that it's moving towards, you know, establishments such as, you know, Legends Room, Gentlemen's Club, accepting it, that's even more, you know, that's the next step. That's the next great leap forward.
Yeah, it's definitely... it's definitely some serious progress. I love it, man, and I champion
it. And I love that they're using that idea that I had came from. Even, you know, they didn't steal it from me. I'm not trying to accuse them of stealing it from me. Ideas aren't property anyway. But I love that they're using the idea that I had came up with years ago for being able to work with crypto in the strip club environment with the, you know, temporary tattoos of the QR codes. And yeah, I love that that's what they ended up doing is exactly what I had came up with in my mind and how it could work. And that makes me so happy.
Well, I can imagine. Well, it's an ingenious idea because, you know, I something didn't even cross my mind. You know, I think of people taking it because I've been in, you know, I've seen some places where, like, you know, maybe like a bar or something will decide to start taking it. You know, they'll try it out for a little while, but they'll, you know, like a little local place, but they'll always have to have like some, they'll either have like the picture, like, you know, the printout QR code that they'll put mm-hmm. at a couple points of the bar. Or I've seen the other places where somebody's actually carrying their phone with them constantly, like one of the mm-hmm. bar, you know, bartenders, or in a shop or whatever. But like, yeah, man, just slap a tattoo on you. Beautiful. You don't even have to carry anything else with you.
Exactly. You know, now when you're doing, when they're dancing, you know, you just take out your phone, boom, scan the QR code, tip them.
It's perfect. Perfect.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, things about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you'll want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, His life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon.
Down the Twitter page, the gentleman's club we were talking about, I couldn't get to it. Now I finally found it.
Yep, at Legends Room is their handle.
I know, I tried searching that and it wouldn't come up. I actually had to use the link on the web page that we had up for it. The article rather. We were talking during the break. The one thing we didn't even mention about this whole thing is they're actually they got quite the deal going on for the upcoming Mayweather McGregor fight, which is pretty darn cool. And you know, if I actually cared about that fight or could travel out there, I may want to go, because you can go there and watch the fight and pay for the entire thing in Bitcoin.
Yeah, you pay for your entire night. Have a night out on Bitcoin, watch the fight, and see some beautiful women. What more could you want? Paid for in Bitcoin. It's amazing. Bitcoin is amazing. Bitcoin can do anything. Bitcoin is changing the world here. It's awesome. It's great.
Yeah, man.
It's great. 'Cause you know... I'm actually quite interested in the Floyd Mayweather McGregor fight, and I wish I could be able to attend this. I think this would be a great time to go out. Unfortunately, traveling out to Vegas is a little bit out of something I can't just do.
I can't just pick up and go there either, unfortunately. And I mean, I don't have that much interest in it, but it sure does seem, if I was going to watch it, I think that would be the that wouldn't be one heck of a way to go, right?
Yeah, especially since pay the whole way in Bitcoin. I mean, that's amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean that's one of the reasons I always like going out to all the different festivals and stuff, because I try to pay as much as I possibly can for things in Bitcoin. Because that's usually the only time I can do that. So I do like to take advantage of that. So yeah.
To be able to go out to a club and, you know, pay for everything in Bitcoin, pay for your drinks and everything. I mean, it'd be a great experience to be able to do, especially go out and see the fight, pay for your drinks, everything in Bitcoin. I mean, you know, what more could you ask for in the evening for spreading cryptocurrency? Can't.
Yeah.
So exactly. Anyone living out in Vegas, I mean, you guys are lucky. Be able to do that.
We should tell Jim, see if maybe we can get him to go over there and do a report on it.
For real.
I'll call my dad. I'll see if I don't think I ever got him any Bitcoin. I tried to get him into Bitcoin. I don't think he ever got any, but he lives out there. Maybe I'll tell him.
Yeah.
Go check it out, Dad. Send a report back for me.
It's cool that they have their own crypto too, as well as accepting Bitcoin and Ethereum, that they've invented their own cryptocurrency for use for purchasing their premium VIP memberships for the club, is what it appears that they're using their Bitcoin, their what's it called, Legend coin.
They just call it LGD.
LGD. I don't think they have like a, it's just LGD. It doesn't seem like it actually has like another name other than LGD. But it's pretty cool that they're, you know, they got their own cryptocurrency that they've invented for it. It's all in all, this is great. This is great for crypto. It's great to see more businesses. More businesses need to do this. I think more businesses need to do their own crypto. I mean, you could see that as a way to do like gift cards and stuff like that. Why not? Why don't more businesses could do this? I mean, it'd be great for them to do for them to set up their own cryptocurrency for use for like gift card purposes and stuff like that. You could see a lot of businesses doing that. A lot of mom and pop businesses, a lot of giant businesses. Why not use it for for, you know, gift cards. It's probably cheaper, in especially in the long run, to do a cryptocurrency as like your gift card system versus actually printing gift cards themselves. I mean, it can't be cheap to print all those gift cards, and then people throw them away, and, you know, you only have to do it once, and then, you know, your infrastructure's there. I mean, it's a brilliant idea, creating their own in-house business currency.
Yeah. Plus, if you put, you know, put stuff like that on some type of blockchain, then you don't have to worry about accounting purposes either, of like trying to, like, you know, people trying to bring in fake ones or whatever. It's like, no, we have all the records of them right here. You know, we know where they went and all this stuff. And yeah, I mean, I'm all for that too, because it's something we've actually been talking about on my other show recently, about the hyper-localization of cryptocurrencies. And this is a great way to do it. So, yeah, man, I'm all for people starting their own currencies as well as accepting others. So, good stuff, man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
So we're back. And my computer is just not working. I don't know what the heck's going on.
Not good.
I'm sure we have some kind of virus or something at this point. Just everything, or at least malware, because everything's bogging down a lot. But anyway, so there's a somewhat breaking news, I guess. Michael sent this along a little while ago, but this came out a little earlier, but I didn't catch it until a couple hours ago. But apparently, a bunch of people who were involved in the standoff at the Bundy Ranch a couple years back actually were acquitted of pretty much all the charges against them, which, as much as I hate the court system and as much as I didn't really care about the Bundy Ranch other than the fact that my dad was there and I was kind of worried about him, it's, you know, in the current paradigm in this legal system, I think that's as good as it can get, right? The people are the people are actually not kept in a cage anymore for stuff like this. You know, I think there's four guys. Two of them got all the charges. They were acquitted of everything, or the judge ordered them released immediately. And the other two are still being held, unfortunately, for the time being, because I think there was a couple of charges that the DA has a chance to try them for a third time, because they were acquitted of most of their charges, but a couple of the charges on each, like two on one and three on the other, were hung charges. You know, they had a hung jury on it. So
so they're going after them again, because that's what they do.
Well, so they can.
Double jeopardy, right?
well, that's
not double jeopardy, I guess, but that's not the same thing.
No, but it's kind of murky there, yeah. And yeah, just because the jury couldn't decide, you know. I mean, that's why they're still being held, because the DA can still decide. You know, they get a couple of days or more to decide this and figure out, oh yeah, we're going to pursue this, or, you know. So I'm sure they'll milk that for as long as they can and make these poor guys suffer even more, because
they're going to keep coming after them.
Well, yeah,
they can't let them get away with standing up for themselves.
Well, yeah, because I mean, this ties into something we were talking about earlier with, you know, about all the victimless crimes and stuff like that, like. They were charged with threatening law enforcement, essentially, because, well, they had guns and they were protecting their friend and his property that the government was trying to take or claiming was theirs, or whatever that whole thing was. You know, the whole thing was over grazing stuff, right? I think that's how that whole thing started.
Grazing fees, I believe, is how it all started. He has to pay grazing fees.
And, you know, it was one of the greatest shows of force and solidarity, I guess, from any of these right-wing groups who always talk about revolutions and the militias and all that stuff. Like, this was probably the biggest one that I can remember, you know, because the last couple of times things got really big and then they went horribly wrong. Like, well, we just passed the anniversary of it. I think it was yesterday, right? Or, yeah, now it's yesterday. Ruby Ridge. That was yesterday or the day before, right? Yeah. Or Waco. In those situations, people who showed up to in defense of the people who were being harassed by the law enforcement didn't have guns or anything. Like, so with the Bundy Ranch thing, yeah, they were all armed. And like I said, my dad was one of them. My dad was one of those crazy people who was out there. But you know, they definitely wanted to nail these people. And the other Bundys themselves, aren't they still in jail for the other thing in Oregon?
For taking over that nature preserve building thing. Yeah,
I think one of them might actually still be in solitary too. That's a whole big thing. But like, at least these guys, the ones who were at the actual Bundy Ranch standoff the couple of years before that, who had, you know, again, who they were charged with threatening police officers, but they didn't actually do anything. It's just that they were armed and they were saying, "No, you're not. You know, we're here and you're not taking anything." Mm-hmm. But which also ties into what we were talking about earlier about, you know, the cops just getting to say, we're afraid for our lives. And that means we either get to shoot them or they get to be punished for being mean to us. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's good news. I'll take it, I guess. You know, like I said, I don't, the particular situation I didn't necessarily care about, but at least they were, you know. At least it ended as well as it could at the present rate for them. But, I mean, there's still more because I think there's like 19 people arrested with this whole thing. I think most of them are still in jail. It was just these four that were finally let out. Yeah, let me see. Yeah. Yeah, because it's two years ago. Blah, blah, blah. So 19, they were among the 19 arrested, and all 19 remained in federal custody despite pleas from family members and attorneys for the release of those that had not been brought to trial. You know, one of them was now 71 years old.
71 years old, still in federal custody since early 2016. They're just keeping him there. That's just so much for, you know, fair and speedy trial, right? What happened to that?
Yeah, that's as I've got to learn through my own ongoing court case. Yeah, that fair and speedy trial thing, that's just all BS. they tell you that, but
yeah, but it doesn't really exist.
No, because you know, if they decide they want to rush things along, sure. But you know, like in my particular situation, I've learned that the DA has like multiple opportunities to ask for extensions, where I as the defendant would never. I would only get like maybe one. I could get an get a date change or something. Mm-hmm. But asking for two in a row, that would be unheard of. Much less three in a row, as has happened in my case. On the most flimsiest of reasons, as, oh, we're not ready yet.
Well, of course. We're not ready yet. They're a legitimate reason for an extension, huh?
Yeah, that was the reason they asked the first time, even though they'd already had more than a month, and they'd already had a month and a half for everything. The second time they had over a month again, and now the third time they had another month, and they're still not ready. But they're allowed to get away with that. If I had said I was not ready, the judge would have looked at me and said, "I don't care. You're here. We're doing this." You know, that's kind of how it works when you're on the other side. So yeah, fair and speedy trial is it doesn't really happen that way. They tell you it happens that way, but as you know, as these poor people can attest to, it's been even worse for them because, you know, at least for me, I wasn't stuck in jail the whole time waiting for it.
Right.
A lot of
these people are still in federal custody.
Yeah,
it'd be a bad place to be for so many years when you're not even, you know, you're just there. They just won't let you go.
Yep. You know, they You know, they, you know, and they've slowly been letting some of these people out, I guess, because there was a trial earlier this year. But this is how they characterize it. This is so insane. From the article, a first trial earlier this year involved men who carried guns, but who prosecutors characterized as the least culpable of the co-defendants. Again, nobody was even shot, much less killed.
Mm-hmm.
But they're culpable of what? Scaring the pants off the police because for one, and the federal agents, because for, you know, for a rare occurrence, people actually stood up and said, yeah, no, that's not happening.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing with like on a smaller scale that you see every once in a while where there's one of those rare but wonderful occurrences when people create a human shield around someone who's about to be arrested for some BS stuff. You know, I've seen a number of videos of those over the past couple of years. Unfortunately, it's usually not always for the greatest reason, but still, just the idea of it where people just, and the cops just, they have to walk away because, especially in this day and age where every other person's got their phone out recording something, you know, in that type of situation, the only way the cops getting the person that they want is by shooting everybody else or at least shooting enough of them to scare them into running away. And they can't have that, you know, at least not have it recorded by somebody who's not them. So, you know, they have to give up. So, you know, the show of force, that's what it is. These people are basically being punished. I mean, I think you hit on it before. These people are all basically being punished for showing the cops, you know, basically showing the cops up.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically saying, yeah, we're not going to take it, and doing the one of the most, you know, if you're going to buy the whole Constitution, and you know you're talking about earlier appealing to the founding fathers here, if you want to appeal to that type of stuff again, one of the most patriotic things you could do,
right,
is stand up against the tyranny of your government, and they're being punished for that, yep. You know.
Yeah, shows you how great. And you know what's the funniest thing about it is a lot of these same type people that support the Bundys and all that kind of stuff. You know, you see them, you know, with the bumper stickers on their car where they have the Gadsden flag crossed with the thin blue line flag bumper stickers and stuff like
yes.
that. That cracks me up.
Yeah, they're highly confused.
yes. If only they realize, you know, in the picture in here, you know, you show them they're, you know, they're flying the flag of the, you know, the government that's oppressing them, you know, as they're screaming in their bullhorns and, you know, their signs and everything. They're still flying the flag of their oppressor. They still have not learned They still have not figured it out. They're still supporting the system that is doing this to them.
Yeah, which is, you know, you would think that...
Talk about Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, completely.
Jeez, oh, Pete's.
Oh, yeah.
One day, hopefully, they'll learn.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know, you would think, or at least hope, I guess, that more of them would start to put these pieces together, especially when they're already doing this because they recognize some form of tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And then especially right. in all these situations, when it got escalated to the fact that not only did they see friends and fellow, you know, patriots or whatever of theirs be arrested over this BS, then in the other, you know, then you had the other situation where, you know, that poor Lavoie Finicum got shot over this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know,
he martyred himself to save the rest of those people.
Yeah. But you think that, you know, you think more of them would be even more upset. But no, they're still championing that the system now worked for them, you know. So, and, you know, I don't think they're any closer to recognizing where the real problem lies. But we'll still remain hopeful, I guess. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. You're special.
You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Good enough. Puts in a spot.
Redemption enough.
Yeah. So apparently, there was a father and son duo in. Now that my computer's freezing up on me again, I don't remember exactly where it was. Somewhere in Europe, right? In Germany, were busted with thousands of ecstasy pills. But they all bore they were all shaped like Donald Trump's head. And I think they even said Trump on the back of them.
Yep.
Which is awesome. They were stopped for some, you know, again, tying into stuff we were talking about earlier. They were pulled over on a traffic stop. And, of course, this is Germany and not the United States, but the same thing applies. It's BS, victimless crime laws. And, they were pulled over for a traffic stop, and they ended up searching the car and finding a couple thousand pills. So, of course, now they're going to be in some trouble, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they found 5,000 pills. This thing had a street value of 39,000 euros.
Yeah,
or $45,000.
That's a good chunk of change.
That is a huge chunk of change of the pills were reportedly being sold on the dark net, according to the article, with the slogan "Trump makes partying great again."
That is that's spectacular. Well, I'd be tempted to try one if they're around. I don't know, maybe as much as I hate Trump. I'd like to see how great he makes partying. You know, sure it'd be a huge party.
There's been according to this article. Trump-shaped drugs have been being produced in Amsterdam and trafficked into countries in very large amounts. I think that's hilarious. They're making Trump-shaped drugs.
Yeah, and I don't recall. I mean, I'm sure it's happened. They've done it for other political figures in the past, but I can't recall, a sitting president having that kind of attention.
No,
in that regard.
I can't recall anything like this. I'm sure it's probably happened. They probably had some Obama ecstasy or something, but I've never heard about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, unless both of us are missing something here from the past that we either don't recall or we never came across, it does seem like this just seems like, maybe the entire world really is just laughing at him, which I kind of hope is the case, A lot of people, I've heard reports from different places that, people do, in typical collectivist fashion, they usually just equate him to most Americans, unfortunately. People like us get linked to that idiot. But, I think overall, he gives an even, you know, he paints an even worse picture now for most people across the world, even whether they hated America or not to begin with. Now they just look at Trump and they're just like, oh, what a buffoon. These people elected him.
Yeah. It's sad that that's what a lot of people think across the world, that Americans are all pretty dumb because of our president here.
Well, we are kind of living out Idiocracy, so, you know, they're not entirely wrong.
No, not entirely wrong, but I don't know. I'd rather have President Dwayne DeMacho Mountain Dew. Dwayne Mountain Dew Camacho. I don't know. I don't think he might be a better president. I mean, at least he knew to listen and put the toilet water on the plants in the end of the movie, you know.
Yes, but would he be up tweeting at 3 a.m. every night and making ridiculous statement after ridiculous statement? I don't know. It's almost a toss-up at this point.
We'll see if Trump uses the toilet water.
We'll see. All right, well, it's been a good show, James. Thanks for joining me tonight. Sorry, Michael, you couldn't make it past the first couple of minutes, but hopefully you'll be back soon. So thanks, everybody, for listening. For more of us, go to freedomfiends.com. Worms.